I so wish that you could see the eyes of the children as Miss Bethany is sharing with them. It tells such a story when she began talking about the one last cookie. They were invested in that story, and the thought of sharing or giving away that last cookie to someone else is a challenge. It brought a tear to your eye. And the suggestion that we are to love those who are mean to us, the heads already began to wag no before they knew that's not the right way to go. And the truth is, we're all that way. Don't you agree? Our natural tendency is to hold on to things that are dear to us, whether it be our finances, whether it be our time, whether it be our efforts. And we have a tendency, a natural tendency as well, as to not love other people who don't love us. If someone is mean to us or is unkind to us, our tendency is to push them aside and discount them, to devalue them because they didn't value us. And so what a wonderful thing it is when someone comes along and sets the example that it goes against the grain. It goes against our natural tendencies. It's a call to us. We see an example, life lived that way. It's a call to us to arise above that sinful nature that exists in us. It's a call to us to yield ourselves to our Creator and to our Maker and become that person we were created to be. And I want to talk to you this morning about becoming that person you were created to be, especially in one particular area. And you and I have seen examples in our life of those who live this out. And it's always inspiring to us, and I love to hear the stories. One of my favorite stories is told about the father of Rick Warren, Pastor Rick Warren. I love this story. Pastor Rick Warren was talking about those last days of his father's life. Now, his father was a minister and had been a minister for over 50 years, mostly of small rural churches. But he says he was a man with a mission. One of his favorite things to do was to go off on mission trips, both home missions and foreign mission trips, and be a part of building churches. And he says he's built been a part of building over 150 churches around the world. He was a man with a mission. In 1999, he died of cancer. And he said in his final week of life, he was just semi-conscious the whole time that he was there in the hospital. And he would enter into a dream state, and he would talk out loud about what he was seeing. And he said what he seemed to be doing was reliving those days on mission, or those days on ministering to other people in need. And he would partially tell the story or talk out loud like he was living it out again. He said that very last week of his life, there came a moment when he and his wife and child were sitting there in the hospital room, and all of a sudden, Dad was filled with all kinds of energy. He said he was really weak, but he tried to get up and get out of the bed, and so his wife reached over and just tried to calm him down. You need to remain in the bed. And he looked at her, and he made this statement. He said, "One more, just one more for Jesus." And she says, "What are you trying to do?" He said, "I need to win one more to Jesus Christ." And Rick Warren said that during that last hour, he must have made that statement, or those last hours, over 100 times. He says he sat beside his father. He just at one point was overwhelmed with that testimony, overwhelmed with who his father was and the commitment in his life. And he started crying, and he bowed his head. And he said his dad took notice of that and reached over and placed his hand on his head as if to commission him. And he said, "Reach one more for Jesus." Wow. He said that he's tried to live his life in such a way that would be his mandate. That would be the thing that would direct his life. And friends, I want you to know that's a heart that beats with the heart of God Almighty. That's the heart that beats with the heart of God Almighty. That's a heart that's moved to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. That's a heart that belongs to the Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the shepherd, Jesus is. Amen? We talked about this Wednesday night. He's the shepherd who left the 99 to find the one lost sheep. He's the woman who burned the midnight oil in search of one lost coin, even though she owned nine others. He's the father who searched the horizon for a sign and then ran to embrace a son and threw a grand party because the one who was lost is now found, the one who was dead now lives. And this is the love that God has for each and every soul. Amen? This is God's love. This is love. This is the call. This is the call that He invites you and I to invest our lives in. And Paul heard that call. And he's one of many who's lived out that adventure, the same adventure that you and I are called to live out. And so this morning, I want to draw your attention to an excerpt from one of his many journeys. Under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, Luke records this in Acts chapter 20. Do you have your Bibles with you? Let's go there together in Acts chapter 20. In verse 7, Paul begins telling this part of the story of one of his journeys. Paul arrived near Ephesus, and knowing that he could not go into the town, he called for the elders of the churches in Ephesus to come to where he was. And when they arrived, he said to them this in verse 18, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach everything and anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. And I've declared to both Jews and Greeks," that means everybody, "that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus." Now take note of verse 22. I love this. "And now compelled by the Spirit," that word compelled means bound, intertwined. He's compelled voluntarily. He's given himself over to the control of the Holy Spirit. Compelled by the Holy Spirit, he goes, "I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit's already warned me. In every city that prison and hardship are facing me. However," he says, "I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is this. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." He was warned by the Spirit, but he was also captured by the call. Warned by the Holy Spirit that there would be a price that he would have to pay, and it would be a great price. But he was captured by the call. He said, "I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me." And what was that task according to the Word of God? That's right. That task was to testify to the gospel of God's grace, to tell everybody that he came in contact with simply this, that Jesus saves, that Jesus saves. That was his heartbeat. That's what drove him every day. Now you might think, well, that's well and good. You know, Paul was a full-time evangelist. Well, that's not really true. Paul was a tent maker. He gave himself over to that task so that it would pay the bills, so that he could tell other people about Jesus Christ. He was a tent maker by trade, but he was captured by the call. Friends, I want to say to you this morning, nothing in life could be more important than this. And some of you have some very important jobs and some very important roles that you play in life. But I want to say to you this morning, there's nothing more important in your life than this one call. And that is to tell other people about Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you this morning to invest yourselves. I want to encourage you. Last week we talked, what was the word, Bethany? She looked at me and said, I couldn't remember the word, and my mind just went completely blank as well. The first word is to what? Identify. And last week we spent time encouraging you to identify those that the Holy Spirit has brought into your circle of influence. The second word tonight, as we travel down that journey, that road called I-4, that makes pathways to lead people where they are so they might know and grow in Christ. The second I in I-4 is to invest, to invest. And so I want to invite you this morning to invest yourselves. First of all, invest yourselves in the call. Invest yourselves in that call. And what is the call? To tell simply other people about Jesus Christ, to lead them to the saving knowledge of His grace. Allow your heart to be so intertwined. Friends, let me invite you this morning to allow your hearts to become so intertwined with the Spirit of God that His desires become your desires. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says this, and He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. Do you hear that? That we should, those of us who have submitted, surrender ourselves to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, should no longer live for ourselves, but for Him who died for us and was raised again. Someone say amen. Our lives no longer belong to us, but it belongs to Him, and so we're to live for Him. So let me ask you, are you compelled this morning by the Holy Spirit? Is that calling one that causes your heart to skip a beat? One that gets you excited about getting up out of bed every morning? Maybe you heard the story of Steve Jobs, the co-founder of Apple Computers. When Apple Computers began to grow, he realized that he needed some help. He needed to hire an experienced executive who could provide the kind of leadership for his corporation that was necessary for it to continue to stretch out and to grow. And so he made his mind up, looking around, that he was going to go after the top executive of Pepsi Cola named John Sculley. And so he took John Sculley out, and after whining and dining him for a while, he said he started to get that sinking feeling that Sculley was going to turn him down. And so he made a last-ditch effort, a last-minute decision, and he took Sculley to one of the apartment buildings. He took him all the way to the top, a building that overlooked Central Park, and he made his final pitch to Sculley. He said, do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugar water, or do you want a chance to change the world? I like that. Do you want to spend the rest of your life making sugar water, or do you want a chance to change the world? And in his book, Sculley writes that this challenge knocked the wind out of him and eventually prompted him to leave Pepsi and join Apple Computers. I want to ask you this morning, when was the last time that something knocked the wind out of you? I want to say to you, nothing in life could be more important to you and me than this calling to see other lives saved and transform the lives of your family members, the lives of your friends, the lives of simply acquaintances, or even those strangers that God causes to cross your path. Nothing is more important. Nothing will knock the wind out of your sails, so to speak, so overwhelm you and fill you with a sense of purpose than sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, of His amazing grace. And so I want to invite you this morning from the very beginning to invest yourselves in the call. Recognize that this is something to give yourself wholeheartedly to. And secondly, I want to invite you to invest yourselves in the ones you're called to. Invest yourselves in the ones that you're called to. Last week in your sermon notes, I asked you to write down some names. Names of those maybe in your family, those friends that you might have, or acquaintances, or even strangers that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And this morning, if you're here and you weren't here last week, I want to invite you right now, even as I'm preaching, to begin doing the same. As the Holy Spirit brings a name up in front of your thoughts, go ahead and write that name down. These may be well people that the Holy Spirit is calling you to reach out to. The bottom line is this. The bottom line in trying to discern who it is you're called to reach out to is that simple question, do they know Jesus Christ as Savior? And that's important. 1 John 5:11 through 12 says this, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. This is the testimony. This is the truth. This is what proves true, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Verse 12 goes on to say, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. It's plain and simple. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you do not have life. When these days end, when you breathe your last breath and close your eyes in this world for the last time, there is no hope for you if you have not already surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. That's why Paul says in Acts 20:21, I've declared to both Jews and Greeks, everyone that crosses my path, that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's the question for you this morning. How can you enter into their world in such a way that they'll be able to hear, I mean really hear, and value and receive the gospel of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? We see people that we recognize that need to know Jesus. But how can we share Jesus with them in a compelling way? How can we climb into their world, into their mindset, and be able to share the gospel with them in such a way they can hear and value and embrace? And so, in the remainder of this message this morning, I want to share with you three important investments you need to make to reach those Lord's placed or will place on your heart that need to know Him. Three important investments. Are you ready for it this morning? Say amen. All right, here we go. The first investment of this, there's four that I want to share with you this morning, three that I want to share with you this morning. The first is this, invest with intercession. Invest with intercession. What is intercession? Somebody help me out. What is intercession? That's a good church liturgical word. It's prayer. It's a specific kind of prayer. It's praying for someone else. You're interceding on behalf of someone else. And so I'm going to invite you this morning to begin interceding. Invest yourself in prayer over those people that God has placed in your heart, those names that you've written down on that piece of paper or are still writing. Now here it is, four important prayers to reach them. Here are four important prayers to reach them. First, when you go to the Lord, when you intercede on their behalf, pray that God will open up their minds and hearts. Now this is an important prayer. The scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So I would invite you, I would encourage you from the very beginning, as you lift their names up to the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer, pray, Lord, open up their eyes. They're lost without you. There's no way in the world, Father, they'll be able to find you unless you intercede. Lord, won't you open up their eyes so they can see their need? Open up, the Lord, their heart so they can receive the gospel. And then secondly, pray for the opportunity. Pray for the opportunity. Paul was always looking for an opportunity, no matter where he was. And the situations he found himself in were not always good situations. You know, most of the letters he wrote when he was where? In prison. And so even in prison, he writes this in Colossians 4:2-3. He encourages other believers to do this, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And then he says, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. No matter where you are, it's a great opportunity to share the gospel with someone you know. It may even be that they're watching you and seeing you go through what you're going through with a sense of courage and hope, and it may be an opportunity for you to tell them why you're able to do so. Pray for the opportunity. And then thirdly, pray for clarity. Pray for clarity. In Colossians 4:4, and continuing that same request, Paul said, "Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." I think that's probably the fear for most of us, isn't it? That when we go to tell someone about Jesus, that we're going to open up our mouth and we're going to say something that's unintelligible. I want you to know, your pastor worries about that every time he comes before the pulpit. And so I pray that God would give me clarity. When you are sharing Jesus Christ, know that no one wants you to succeed more than the Lord Jesus. Amen? He wants you to be able to share in such a way they hear and understand. So God has already gone ahead of you. He's been working in ways that you're probably not even aware of in that person's life. And he's not going to let you down. So pray for clarity when that opportunity arises. And then finally, number four, pray for the courage. Pray for the courage. When the Holy Spirit lines up that opportunity, their eyes have been opened, and you begin to see that this is that moment, you need courage to go ahead and do what the Holy Spirit has called you to do. Ephesians 6:19 says this. Paul said, "Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth," that's a good way to start that "whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." That's a good word for you and me as well. Pray for the courage. All right, so we pray with intercession. That's the first of the three investments that you and I are to make. Invest yourselves in prayer, and let me suggest you pray in those four ways. Invest yourselves with intercession, and also invest yourselves with your attention. Can I suggest that this morning? Invest yourself in your friend's life. Be attentive to what's going on in that individual's world. Get to know them. Who are they? What do they value? How do they think? Find ways to enter into their world. In other words, find a way to build a bridge. Amen? Find a way to build a bridge. Listen to 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 23. Now, this is one of my favorite passages when we talk about investing ourselves in evangelism or investing ourselves in sharing the gospel. But I'm going to read it to you this morning from a different translation, because sometimes we hear the word over and over again and we become dull to its call. So I'm going to give it to you in a different translation. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 9, 19. "Even though I am free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people." And then Paul lists those kinds of people, a wide range of people. He says, religious or non-religious, meticulous moralist or loose-living immoralist, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ, but I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. And so the Word of God is calling you and I this morning to get to know the people He's called us to reach. Take the time, invest your attention into their lives. Find ways to enter into the world, enter into their way of seeing life, and then find those points of connection. This is where we build a bridge. Find those points of connection. So our desire is to meet them right where they are, to connect with them so we can lead them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You still with me this morning? Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 9, "I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life." I like that. "I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. I did all of this because of the message, because of the gospel. I didn't want to just talk about it. I wanted to be in on it." Friends, do you want to be in on it this morning? There's nothing more exciting that God has called us to. The most powerful points of connection that you're going to make in the lives of other people quite often are acts of love. And before you can act in love, before you can demonstrate God's love, it's important to know who they are, what their love language might be, so you can make that point of connection with them and then win the right to be heard. We demonstrate the love of God so we can declare the love of God in a way that it can be heard and received. Invest yourselves with intercession. Invest your attention. And let me say finally, invest with your intention. Your intention. Let them see Jesus in you. Amen? Be very intentional about it. Let them see Jesus in you. Live out your life before them with intentionality. And I think this point this morning is important to make, because sometimes our life, listen to me, sometimes our conversation might leave them wondering what we're really about. Do you remember maybe you've heard this story before. Who knows who Gerber is? Who's Gerber? What do they make? They make baby food. And so Gerber was expanding at one time their clientele, those who they're trying to reach with their baby food, and they decided to stretch on over to Africa. And have you heard this before? They didn't do the homework they're supposed to do. And how many of you have used Gerber before? Good baby food. What do they have right there what's the picture they have right there on the label? The cutest little baby in all the world, right? Just a cute little baby on that label. Well, the problem was in Africa, because of illiteracy, they would often put a picture on that label of what's inside the jar. So that didn't go over real well. Someone didn't invest themselves, you know, intentionally to communicate what they needed to communicate. Coca-Cola is another good example. They began a promotion, before they could begin promoting their product in China, the Chinese merchants got a jump start on that. They got a hold of their product, and they wanted to go ahead and get it going before Coca-Cola really began promoting it. And a company's going to do all they can normally to do the right research. But the Chinese markets began to translate Coca-Cola the best way they could into Chinese. The only problem was their version literally translated into the phrase, "bite the wax tadpole." Just not an invitation that I would get in line for, you know? Kentucky Fried Chicken had the same problem. Their slogan is finger licking good, right? It came out as eat your fingers off. Mercedes-Benz entered into the Chinese market as well. I don't even know why the Chinese would buy anything from us whatsoever. The Chinese market translated Mercedes-Benz as Benzi, B-E-N-S-I, which really translates into Chinese as rush to die. And then I were traveling to Asheboro. We're heading to the zoo, and maybe you've seen the sign, and I don't mean any harm because it's a great restaurant, but I remember the first time I saw the sign up there, Something Different. Has anyone ever dined there? Something Different in Asheboro? Great little restaurant, but the sign is kind of, I think, well, maybe I'm the only one who sees it this way. I looked up and I saw Something Different. And just as I was beginning to wonder, what is something different that they serve there, I saw the tag underneath that, just ahead on Zoo Parkway. Am I the only one who has a problem with that? I'm not sure what they're trying to communicate. Sometimes our lives are like that. Sometimes we leave others wondering what we're really about. Let me share with you one more passage. Colossians 4, 5, and 6 says this: be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Verse 6 says, let your conversation be always full of grace, always seasoned with salt, so you may know how to answer everyone. Be wise in how you present yourself to those around you. Don't leave them wondering what you're about. That passage could be translated very easily in just two words: be winsome. Be winsome. Invest yourselves in the call. Invest yourselves in the ones you're called to. As I close this morning, I want to share a story that I was reminded of by a story about Louis Pasteur. You remember who Louis Pasteur was? He's called the father of immunization. And he was the first to explain the principles of vaccination. But the story goes this way. He lived at a time when thousands of people died each year of what? Who remembers? Of rabies. It's during a time when people are dying every year of rabies. And so he worked for years on trying to discover a vaccine to rescue people from that plight. Just as he was about to begin experimenting on himself, a 9-year-old boy named Joseph Meinster was bitten by a rabid dog. The boy's mom learned of what Mr. Pasteur was trying to do, and she came and just begged him to do the experiment on her son. And so finally he consented and gave the injection to Joseph for 10 days. And the treatment worked, and the boy lived. Decades later, of all the things Pasteur could have etched on his gravestone, he asked for 3 words. And these were the 3 words etched on his gravestone: Joseph Meister lived. When we get to heaven someday, our greatest joy, our greatest reward will be those who lived eternally because of our efforts. Are there any whose names could be etched on your gravestone because you helped lead them to Jesus Christ? Do you have your names with you this morning? If you have, bring them out and hold them in your hand. And would you stand with me right now? Stand with me right now. All of you, everyone stand. With those names in hand or in heart, let's begin to pray. And Heavenly Father, we recognize, Lord, your great and wonderful love for us. We recognize, Lord, that because of that love, Lord, you left your throne in glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, you came to meet us right where we were. Because, Father, you invested yourself in our lives, working in ways, Lord, around us and within us, we came to that point in time when our heart was surrendered to you. When we received you as Savior and Lord, we prayed that prayer: Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Dear Jesus, I know that I've done wrong. You forgave us of all of our sins. You wash it all away by the blood that you shed there at the cross. You forgave us of our sins, and you set us free. And Father, our heart's desire now is to live our lives committed to you, to live our lives in such a way that brings honor and glory to the one who died and rose again for us. Lord, we know that the one thing that brings you honor and glory above all other things is to share the same gospel truth with someone else that was shared with us. So help us, Lord, this morning to invest ourselves in the call. Holy Spirit, work inside of us this morning in such a way. Bring those names, Lord, to the front of our minds and our hearts each day in such a way, Father, that we're compelled to invest ourselves in their lives so, Lord, we might win the opportunity to say, do you know Jesus is your Savior? Let me tell you how your life can be transformed and changed. Move us, Lord, to a deeper commitment during this moment in time. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And really, we can't walk outside of this room this morning without asking that question: do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you realize that you are the apple of God's eye? That no matter who you are or where you've been, God loves you so much he can't take his eyes off of you. He loves you so much that from the depths of eternity, he saw you before you were born. He knew that you would falter and fall. He knew that you would sin and that you would be cut off from his love and cut off for him for all eternity. So he went on a radical rescue mission just to reach you. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. Luke 15 teaches us that had you been the only person to ever gone astray, Christ would have came and died just for you. He loves you that much. And because of what he did on the cross, all you have to do this morning is pray that same prayer I just prayed. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've done wrong. I'm lost without you, Jesus. Please forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and be my Savior and Lord. And friends, if you pray that prayer this morning, your life will be transformed. you'll live eternally in the presence of God. But brothers and sisters in Christ, you and I are called to share that message. Amen. I love it when you invite people to come to church. Keep doing that. Bring them to church so they can hear the gospel story. But you don't have to wait till Sunday morning. If God opens up the door for you, you can share this gospel story with someone else. You can follow these steps. You can invest yourself in the call. You can invest yourself in their life. Are you ready to make that commitment this morning? Maybe this morning you need to come and rededicate your life. Maybe this morning you need to come and pray for your friends or your family or those acquaintances or even those that stranger you cross paths with. You come this morning with an intention of being God's vessel to reach them. You come right now.